Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we bless your name this morning. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise, God. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that has power. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I enter your gates with thanksgiving, and I enter your courts with praise. I'm just so thankful to you this morning. God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. I thank you for divine protection. I praise you for how you cover and protect me, protect my family, protect the anointing of God on my life, Lord. You are worthy to be exalted. You are worthy to be lifted. You are worthy to be magnified, God. And we just worship you this morning. We worship you in the beauty of your holiness. You are the great God of heaven and earth. And we magnify your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we just don't forget. We forget not all your benefits. You heal our diseases. You forgive our transgressions, oh God. We glorify you. Good morning, Kwame. Good morning, Arbidia, Miss Lemons. Good morning. Hallelujah. Let's give you guys an opportunity to come on. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can just lift your hands and worship him this morning, because he's worthy to be glorified, worthy to be magnified. God, we thank you that we're being conformed into the image of Christ, Lord. Thank you for revelation, God. I thank you for a spirit of revelation, Lord. And we just thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit today that will be fully present to minister to us, to teach us, to guide us, to lead us. Hallelujah. You're so welcome, Micah. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Those of you watching me for the first time, my name is Yvonne Camper, and I am doing a series called Managing Your Prophetic Mantle. I've been carrying this for a long time. God has just really given me insight and clarity concerning the prophetic, and mainly because I had to learn how to walk it out in my own life, and I didn't know that, and so I had to do a lot of research, a lot of studying. I was raised in a home that was extremely prophetic, but we didn't go to church. So there was a lot of the demonic element in our home, because we didn't know God. We weren't saved. We didn't know Jesus. But all my siblings, extremely prophetic. My mom, extremely prophetic, but just didn't know how to handle. And good morning, Diane. Just didn't know how to handle the gift that was in our life. It was very normal to us. It was a normal environment. But just didn't understand the warfare that came with being prophetic. So it really is a burden on my heart, and I believe it's part of my mantle to help prophets understand who they are, to help them walk out their prophetic gift, to help them find their place in history. Because I want you to understand that if you are here on this earth, in this hour, in this day, in this region, wherever you are, that you have a place in history, and people are going to know that you were here. And that's really part of my assignment, too, is to help you solidify who you are in Christ, to help you finish what God put on your life, to help you walk out your anointing. So many people just die in anonymity because they never know how to. They never develop the skill, or they're never trained or mentored or nurtured to be able to release the gift of God that is on their life. That's part of my assignment. So we thank you, God. And so today we're talking about a mantle. What is a mantle? Because I feel like one of my burdens is to help people walk it out practically. Because when you deal, prophets have to learn how to, they have to learn how to exist in two realms. You have to learn how to exist in the supernatural realm and in the natural realm. And many times they can get very, very spooky and, you know, that type of super, super spiritual. And they don't know how to walk life out in the natural. When I say in the natural, I'm just talking about, you know, go to work, manage your family, manage your kids, because I'm not always in the stratosphere spiritually. There are some very practical things that I have to do. Good morning, Tanisha. Very practical things that I have to do in life. I had to raise my children. I had to finish my education. I had to be a wife. I had to clean my home. You know, I had to live my life practically. And we're going to get more into that as the teachings and stuff go on. But today I'm going to talk about your mantle. What is in your mantle? What is a mantle? You know, what is in your mantle and all that kind of stuff. This, to me, is going to be really, really exciting. So let's start off. So I want to start off with, what is a mantle? We hear the term mantle all the time, prophetic mantle. But what exactly is that? Let's see. Okay, so my notes got a little skewed here, but that's okay. So the word mantle actually comes from the Greek word parabole, and it means to wrap around or to cloak. So a mantle was, in the Old Testament, it was a cloak that prophets wore so people would recognize that they were a prophet. So it was something that was very visible that people could see, and they knew that you were a prophet. Beggars and disabled people in the Bible also wore cloaks for people, so people knew that there was something wrong with them. Much like how we see like a blind person with a cane or somebody with a wheelchair, you knew that identified their position or what was wrong with them or what was going on with them at that time. So they wore this cloak that identified them. My notes got messed up. I'm like really bothered by that. So let's say understanding that. So we're going to talk about, so the mantle was this. It was within their mantle was their jurisdiction. It was their anointing. It was their assignment. It was their disciplines. And because mantles never leave the earth, many of us have picked up the mantle of other people. I'm just going to give you my testimony. It was about 26 years ago. I was on my way to Tulsa, Oklahoma, for a conference, and my soon-to-be pastor was there. I didn't know him at the time. And when I went to that, he wrote an article in the newspaper, and it said, "The mantle is falling." At that time, I didn't know and understood what a mantle was, but I knew something was just quickening in my spirit. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, "You need to go see that man." And so at that time, I didn't understand anything about the prophetic. And so I just knew that I had to go see him. I had to go find him. He was actually in California where I was. And so I was feverishly trying to find this, because you have to understand this was pre-internet. We had yellow books and we had to call information. So it was pre all the access to the information that we have now and how easy it is to find people. And so looked him up, ended up finding him. I had some friends that knew him, ended up going to his church. And that changed the course of my life forever. God sent me to that church, and I would tell him over the years that I've been in prophet school. He was training me how to operate in my prophetic gift, manage my prophetic mantle, because I didn't have any training prior to that. And Chris Vallotton of Bethel said, he wrote in one of his books, it takes about 15 years to train a prophet. And I sat under him for 15 years, but it completely redirected my life. It completely changed the course of my life and ministry. If I had not have obeyed God at that moment in time, because I could have just dismissed it or not paid attention to it. But if I had not obeyed God at that time, I don't know where I would be. I don't know where my family would be. I don't know where my children would be, because it really redirected. It was just like a major redirect in my life. And it taught me so much, and he trained me so much. It taught me how to be consistent and diligent in the things of God. It taught me how to manage my mantle, how to operate in a prophetic gift, how to recognize things in the spirit. It taught me so much about the supernatural, that I understood the supernatural, but in a negative way. I understood that there were, you know, Ouija boards and psychics and all that kind of stuff. I understood that part, but I didn't understand the supernatural as it related to the kingdom. So your life is the sum total. Remember, Robert Laird said, your life is a sum total of the people who have imparted to you. There are three major prophets that have governed my life. And the first one was, his name is Bishop Clarence McClendon, very notable man of God, but he really poured into me and trained me. And it was not necessarily an up-close relationship. I didn't really know him that well. He knew who I was. He recognized my face and that type of thing. But it was not a close relationship where I talked to him or had a relationship with him. But I didn't need... Many times we want to have close relationships with the people that are ministering us or training us, but that's not always necessary. I was just gleaning and being trained and feeding and being mantled by him. And so the next prophet that governed my life, didn't know him well either, but his name was Robert Slairgan. And Robert Slairgan wrote the book God's Generals, and he had a very strong scribal anointing, and he was able to capture history in the church. And the prophet that is governing my life now is Pastor Rob Cobal, and very much a man of God, loves the Lord, loves God's people. So you have to understand that he said you are the sum total of everyone who has imparted to you. And I remember the time I went to go see Robert Slairgan, and he was ministering. I remember he laid hands on me in this service that I was at in Las Vegas. And it just, like, I mean, all the lights went out. It was something that hit my life so heavy. And the power of God hit me that I was just under the anointing for like 3 days. I couldn't pull myself out of it. And back in those days, I really didn't understand what was happening to me or what God was doing in my life or what was being imparted to me. Now I understand where I am now. I understand what happened to me, what was imparted to me, what God was infusing in my spirit, how God was training me. But it was so... everything was so blurry to me back then. All I knew to do was to obey God. So some of you don't know who I am, but I just decree that as God speaks to you through these times and these seasons of where we're teaching, because there's seasons, there's going to be seasons where God is imparting to you. And then there's going to be seasons where God's going to make you walk it out in your own life. I believe that these are seasons of teaching. And so all I knew to do was obey God. That's all I knew to do, is if I heard his voice, I followed. If he spoke, I listened. If he told me to do something, I did it. All I knew was to be obedient to where I was in that season. And I didn't. He used to say all the time that I don't know. I don't understand to obey God. I obey God to understand. Some of you are trying to understand what's going on with you or where God's taking you or what God is doing for you. But you don't need to understand. All you need to do is follow the path and follow the trail and follow and obey God, what he's telling you. Some God is telling you to do certain things and giving you divine instruction that may not make sense to you, but it doesn't have to make sense to you. All you have to do is obey it, because I understand what I understand about God is that God knows what he is doing. God, I always say all the time that God has a plan for your life. It may not be comfortable. You may not like it. It may not feel good, but that's not the issue. The issue is that you obey God, because he knows where you're taking you. I love, even as we did assume the position, the scripture that keeps sticking out to me is the one in Joshua where he told them, the children of Israel, they were getting ready to cross over. They were crossing over into a land that they had only heard about. And as they crossed over, as they were getting ready to cross over, he told the priests to pick up the ark. And he said, as soon as you told the people, as soon as you see the ark move, you get up and you follow. But I need you to stay about 1,000 cubits behind the ark so you can follow, because you've never been this way before. You don't know where you're going. And so I just want to present to some of you, you've never been this way before. You don't know where you're going. So if you don't know where you're going, then you don't know what direction to take. And if you don't know what direction to take, then you have to rely on somebody else to give you direction. So it is so crucial and important that you follow and obey God in this season and in this hour. So let's talk about what is in your mantle. So part of what is in your mantle is your jurisdiction. And God showed me this a long time ago. I remember one of my mentors told me, he said, a prophet's responsibility to a region is to govern the traffic that comes in and out of a region. Wherever you are living, whatever city, whatever state, wherever you're living, that is part of your jurisdiction, or you wouldn't be in that area. So you have to understand that you have a prophetic responsibility there. I moved to a region in California that I just told myself over the years, I would never move there. There's nothing out there for me. It's far away from everything. I would never move there. But lo and behold, 7-8 years later, here I am in this region. And God has used me significantly in this region, but I didn't want to come here. So you have to understand that where you are, you have a prophetic responsibility. And I remember when I got to, I remember when I got here in this area in California, that God began to speak to me. He's like, I want you to begin to heal the prophets in this region and raise up prophets in this region. And at that time, I had no ministerial connections. I didn't know any people. I really didn't know anybody. I would go outside and I would speak to the atmosphere and I would pray for the prophets that were in this region and command them to arise and command them to heal and command them to speak, because that was the only point of contact that I had, because I can speak to the atmosphere and command things to happen, because the Bible says that the angels of the Lord, they hearken diligently unto the voice of the word of the Lord. And so I know as long as I am declaring God's word, whether it's rhema or written, as long as I'm declaring his word, that angels are summons to carry out his word. That's why he said, my word will not go out and come back void. It won't go out and come back void, because angels, the moment you speak the word of God, angels are on assignment to fulfill the word. So it's going to come back finished and complete. So I begin to speak the word of God over this region. And then a few years later, several years later, I ran into a prophet in another state. And she said, God has given you jurisdiction over that region. And so she just confirmed what God spoke to me. Before, it was just something in my heart, but she confirmed what God spoke to me. And she flew all the way to this region to, she said, God told me to help you apprehend this region. And I'm not the only one in this region that is operating prophetically, but I know I have an assignment here. And I'm watching the assignment on my life starting to manifest and starting to unfold. But it was something that I didn't know was on my life. I didn't even think I was going to be in this area, but the Holy Spirit knew. So wherever God is leading you and taking you, follow him. Trust. See, and I tell people all the time, faith and trust is not the same thing. Faith is knowing that God is able. Faith is knowing that God has the power and the authority to do something. But trust is, God, I don't need to know all the answers to obey you or trust you. I don't need to know all the answers to do what you're telling me to do, or go where you're telling me to go, or say what you're telling me to say. I trust that you know what you're doing. Trust is a reliance, a deep reliance on somebody, that you trust them with your life. And so that is how we have to be with God. This is a season of trust, not a season of faith, because I believe that all of you are operating in faith right now. You know what God is able to do, but you have to trust that you know where he's taking you and that he knows what he's doing in your life. So part of your mantle is your jurisdiction. Jurisdiction is the extent of the power to make legal decisions and judgments. It's your limitation. So your jurisdiction can be territorial, meaning it could be relegated to a region. And many times it's both. Most of the times it's both, but it could be relegated to a region. But where God has used me, even though I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, 26 years ago, didn't realize how that was changing my life. And at the time, I didn't even have the money to go. Somebody paid for me to go. And I was fully pregnant. So I had all this stuff going on, but I knew that God wanted me to go there. And 26 years later, my daughter is ministering in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Oklahoma is a region where God has opened up to me. And I met another prophet out here in California that lived in Oklahoma. So God supernaturally connected me to Oklahoma. So there's a region of authority and ministry that I have in Oklahoma. And so I didn't understand that years ago. Obviously, it's where I live. I have authority. That's part of my jurisdiction and parts of Oklahoma. And so the other jurisdiction is situational or circumstantial. Part of my anointing or my mantle is to heal prophetic people, especially in the areas of trauma. And that's why I believe that the Lord had me donate a kidney, is because I needed to be traumatized on the inside, because trauma is something you cannot see. When a person is traumatized, you can't look at them and say, amen, Arvidia. You cannot look at them and say, well, something's wrong with that person. You see it in behavior and action. Action when that thing is enacted, but you just can't look at a person until they're traumatized. And so many times, I'm not talking about people that are on the street or addicted or that type of thing. You can tell something is wrong with them, but a normal church going person, you cannot tell that there's trauma many times. And so God has just given me a keen insight and a keen discernment to be able to identify trauma in the life, in people's lives, especially prophetic people. Because one of the things that I believe about prophetic people, because your assignment is so great, because your assignment is so significant in the earth, that you have to be healed. You have to be healed to effectively walk it out. I had to go through a lot of healing to get to where I am now, so I can do what I'm doing now. I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing now and minister to you and speak to you and speak into the lives of people if I was not at the level of healing that I am. I'm not saying I'm all the way there, but I am 98% there. I've done a lot of work, you know, in prayer, in counseling, in church. I've done a lot of work to get to where I am now because of the level of trauma I had to experience growing up. Because trauma is those silent wounds. You just really don't know what a person has been through. You don't know what a person has walked through. You don't know what has happened to a person. When it comes to trauma, many times it gets locked in your memory and you don't even realize it's there. You're just functioning off of it. You know, somebody will say something to you and it'll trigger an emotion or a feeling, but you cannot identify the event. And so God has given me the ability to identify the event so we can cut off the trauma so you can heal and move forward, because trauma locks itself in your brain. And that's why it's so hard to get through sometimes, because memories and events and situations keep playing themselves across in your brain. But God came to heal all of that. And so part of the scripture for jurisdiction is, I love where God said to about Samuel in 1 Samuel 3:20. It says, all of Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. So all of Israel, all the territory that Joshua had apprehended and he apportioned out to the children of Israel, which is a very large territory, everybody knew that prophet was that Samuel was a prophet in that region, in that area. If you are walking in your prophetic gift and walking in your anointing, people should be able to recognize, even people that are not saved, they may not be able to know it's prophetic, but they should be able to recognize that there's something different about you. I have people, we talked about, you know, 10 ways are several ways that people that may help you identify that you're a prophet. One of them is that people sense that you're very insightful, that you're very spiritual, that there's something different about you. People recognize that. They just may not know what to call it. And many times in our society, if we're in a religious community, we call things certain things. But outside of a religious community, people don't know what to call it. So I've been called a psychic, a clairvoyant, all that type of stuff. I understand what they're saying. It's just a matter of nomenclature. But people should be able to recognize that gift on your life, no matter where you go. And everybody in Israel knew that Samuel was a prophet. And even about David. David wasn't a prophet. He was a king. But we're talking about jurisdiction, because I want to help you understand that your jurisdiction can grow and expand as you mature. I believe your jurisdiction is set, that when God sends you here, your assignment is set. Who you're going to minister to, your jurisdiction, your anointing, your gifting, all that type of stuff, it's set. But your jurisdiction grows as you are strengthened. Because remember, he told the children of Israel, little by little, you'll possess the land. That as you strengthen, as you mature, as you grow in the things of God. And that's when talking about David. David did not take over all of Israel at once. First, he was just part of Saul's kingdom, and he was a man of war, and he was a musician for Saul. And then he took over Judea, and then he took over all of Israel. And in 2 Samuel 5, 1 and 2, it says, all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, we are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler. So David, I heard a message about the three anointings of David. David had three successive anointings that prepared him to take over Israel. And so now the people were able to recognize that David was now becoming king over all of Israel. And Israel, even Israel today, the people of Israel today, they love David. They have such an affinity for David. They recognize him, they reverence him, they honor him. I have the opportunity to go to David's tomb where people go and they pray over King David. That's how much they respected his leadership. So thousands of years later, people are still honoring King David for what he did for that nation. But then many of us know the life of David. David had to grow in his authority. So many of us, we have to grow and mature to be able to handle our full jurisdiction. I know I can see how God has been over the years and over time just releasing territory to me. Because part of it is that if you're not mature, you're going to hurt people and you're going to wound people. Because anybody unskilled doesn't know what they're doing. And I remember Charles Stanley said, it's better to hurt 10 people than it is 10,000 people. Not that those 10 people are insignificant, but it's a lot easier to clean up when you hurt 10 people. When you hurt 10,000 people, that's way more to manage and you don't have access to all those people. So God, part of it is that God is, He is healing you. He's protecting you. And then he's protecting people. So don't be, if you're already in ministry or you're already flowing in your anointing, don't be so anxious to move ahead or for people to know you or for people to be able to recognize who you are and know your name. Don't be so anxious for that, because sometimes you are not ready for the responsibility that comes with expansion. I remember Dr. Miles Monroe said that some people, they come into ministry and they shine bright, bright, bright like a nova, and then you don't hear from them ever again, because even though they had a gift and they had an anointing, they were not mature enough and ready to handle the gift and handle the anointing. So be patient with God. I had to be patient with God. And I even had a prophet tell me, you know, your ministry should have been bigger. But I decided, I talked about that yesterday, to get off the front line and do some things concerning my family. And he said, God's going to redeem the time for you. And I thank God for that, because it was a personal decision. It wasn't something that God necessarily told me to do. It was a core value of mine. And so I talked about jurisdiction. And so let me talk about what I got from the three prophets that actually stewarded, laid hands on me, you know, governed my life. The first thing I know that I got from Robert Laird, I know that I got this, is a scribal anointing. I know the gift was there, because many times they're just activating the gift that's already in you. I knew I was a writer. No, actually, I didn't know I was a writer. I remember in 11th grade, I remember my English teacher telling me, oh, you have a great gift to write. But that didn't mean anything to me. I never absorbed that. And I don't think I wrote anything for 20 years. I would blog here and there, but I didn't write my first book until 20 years later. So that scribal gift was already there. But what Robert Laird did is he activated. He activated it and he put it in motion. And I've been writing ever since, because I didn't understand when he laid hands on me, he was speaking to me at that time. I did not understand what was happening to me. I just knew I felt different. I knew there was something different in my life. But now I understand that he was activating that anointing. And so many times, and so one of the things that is in my scribal ministry is to capture history. And so God showed me that this morning, that we did assume the position 30 days to possessing your promise. And the reason God told me to put it in a book is so that I could capture history, because we can assume that social media is going to be here, you know, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, you know, 30 years from now. Social media may not be here. We don't know what's going to be. Technology is constantly evolving and constantly changing. But because I put it in a book, I was able to capture that history, that moment in time that we have for those 30 days. And so people 20 and 30 and 40 years from now can find my book and read it. So that's one of the strong anointings of my life, is to be able to lock things in history. That's the importance of a book. So those of you, always sidebar, that if you're writing a book or God has put a book in you, it's so that you can capture history and help somebody else 20, 30 years from now. And the next thing I know that I got was the healing anointing. The prophet that trained me, McClendon, had a very, very strong healing anointing on his life. And I know that I caught that mantle in my ministry. And anybody that comes to my ministry knows that it's just there. It's present. When we were sitting under his jurisdiction, his teaching, his training, there was something very, very auspicious and different about all of us. Some of us came there so hungry. I knew that I was coming. I wasn't coming there to connect. I wasn't coming there to make friends. I was not coming there for anything other than I knew that I was going to catch something, that catch a mantle. And I didn't even know what a mantle was at that time. But I knew I went there to get something. And so I was an avid student. I went to almost every single service. I took notes. I listened to tapes. I watched his mannerisms. I was in school at that time because God told me before I ever got there that I was coming there to catch something. And so there was a healing anointing that was released on my life. And then there was a discipline to study the word of God, to search out the scripture. There was a strong gifting of revelation on his life where he could look at the scriptures and crack it open and just pull stuff out of the scriptures that normal people didn't see. And so that is why. And so actually, so what is happening too right now, because you're listening to me, I am releasing that mantle that is on my life. I'm releasing that to you because you're following me now. And that's how you, that's why you have to understand that mantles and anointings, they don't leave, they never leave the earth. That's why in, I want to read 2 Kings 13:21, we talk about the prophet Elijah. It said, once while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders. So they threw the man's body into Elijah's tomb. When the body touched Elijah's bone, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. So the man touched Elijah's bone, and the anointing that was on Elijah's life was still captured in his bones. So you have to understand that mantles and anointings, they never leave the earth. They are just transferred. I want to find... I want to look up the word mantle. I had it in my notes, but can't find it. So the term mantle means this. It is, it's the obvious, a loose sleeveless cloak or shawl. So we understand that portion. But a mantle, this is what a mantle is. It is an important role or responsibility that passes from one person to another. So it is something that, so when a person that you don't need your mantle in heaven, you don't need your anointing in heaven. You need it in the earth. And so it's the, and we talked about, it's a role, it's a burden. Many times you'll read where God is ministering to a prophet, especially in the minor prophets, that it was the burden of the Lord. It's a burden, it's a duty, it's a responsibility, it's a function, it's a capacity, it's a task, it's a job. So your mantle is a responsibility, it's a burden. You have a, when God mantles you, you have a responsibility to the body of Christ. You have a responsibility to walk out the anointing that God has put on your life. And so that's what I want to help you understand. A lot of people, you know, they ask me, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? What is my mantle? I don't know if I'm a prophet. Many times it's not that people don't know that they're prophetic. It's just that they don't know what to do with their prophetic gift. They don't know how to walk it out. They don't know how to minister to people. They, especially those that are in the marketplace. I was a marketplace prophet for many, many years. And so part of my mantle is business. I understand business. There's a professionalism that comes with what I do because I spent all those years at very high level, large organizations that trained me to do what I'm doing now. And it's much like Joseph, where Joseph was being trained in Potiphar's house. He was being trained in prison because God knew ultimately that Joseph would take, he would be the Pharaoh or the prime minister, so to speak, over all of Egypt. But Joseph didn't realize that God was training him all those years in the mundane. And I think that was the difficult part for me, that God was training me in the mundane. It was so boring. I just knew that there was something more on my life. I didn't know what it was, but I knew that there was something there and that where I was going was greater than where I was. So you have to understand that God has to train you. So it's not that people don't know, because you know if you're having visions, you know if you're having dreams, you know that if there you have a deep gift of discernment, you can discern people, you know what's going on in atmospheres and all that kind of stuff. You know those things because you live it out day to day. And so you know that's on your life. You just don't know what to do with it. And you don't know how to manage it. And you don't understand your jurisdiction, like what we talked about, who you're called to, where you're called to, how do I walk this thing out? And that is why many times that's why a prophet needs to be trained for 15 years, because they have to understand how to manage their mantle. They have to understand how to walk out the prophetic ministry that's on their life, because there are prophets that are in the government that sit in the White House, and their assignment, they may be a secretary or a janitor, but their assignment is prophetic. There are prophets in all walks of life. There's a term that came up in ministry and in the Christian world called the seven mountain strategies. And it talks about the seven mountains of the earth, and that Christians need to have access to all those areas. It's education, religion, arts and entertainment, political. Can't think of the other two right now, but it's seven mountains. Let me look it up and give it to you so I don't give you incomplete information. But prophets need to be in all of those areas. There's prophets that need to be. I know several prophets that are in the entertainment industry. They need to be in all those areas. And the reason you need to be in those areas is because there's people there. It's just that simple. There's people that God needs you to minister to. There's people that God. So the seven mountains are. This is what Bill Bright. He found the founder of Campus Crusade. He developed the God-given world training strategy. Their mandate is to bring godly change to a nation by reaching in seven spheres or mountains of influence. The first one is religion, which is obvious. We know religion. The second one is family. Some of you have anointing for families and children, and to raise godly children. I think that's one of the greatest gifts on a person, on a mother or father, is that their only assignment is to raise up godly children, pastors and prophets and evangelists. And then the third mountain is education. And then government, media, arts and entertainment, and business. So a prophet needs to be in all seven of those realms. And I learned in my master's class, I think my bachelor's class, that was how Hitler took over his country. He occupied all of those mountains. He started putting his pictures in the museum. He started teaching the kids in the school about himself. He occupied all seven of those mountains, and he was able to take over an entire nation and do what he did to the children of Israel, because he occupied all those mountains. So I don't want you to think or feel that your only realm of influence is the church. So many times people get stuck in church, and then that's all they do, and they never go outside. There has to be, prophets in media. And that's why God has just opened up a door for me for media journalism. I don't have necessarily any experience in that, but I'm going to learn, because I know how to learn anything. But God has opened the door up for me for media. I've had influence in the entertainment industry at different junctures in the road in my life. And so God wants you to find out what your mountain in. Mountain is your mountain is you usually have a burden. Excuse me. You usually have a burden for a specific area. So there's nothing like we talked yesterday about, what is a prophet? And one of the signs of a prophet is someone that was very poetic, which I thought was so interesting. And that's why we had that insurgence of, spoken word conferences and stuff like that, that just kind of took over our society, because those people were really prophetic and they were advancing the kingdom of God. I've never been to one. I'm going to go to one day. I've never been to one, but I've heard that they are extremely powerful, and that those people really minister the truth of the gospel because they're prophetic, but they have taken over that entertainment arena. Because some people will come to a spoken word conference and they will never, ever walk in the doors of a church. So God is strategic. God is creative. God knows how to get a hold of people. I did not get saved in church. I didn't get evangelized in church. I got saved at a Billy Graham crusade, but a woman on my job evangelized me before I ever even was a regular member of a church. I went here and there as a child with different people, but it was not part of my life. And she witnessed to me at work, and then I ended up she took me to a Billy Graham crusade where I got saved. So you have to understand that God wants to minister to people in every sphere and influence of your life. And so it's important that you find out that some of finding out, I can give you instruction and direction and clarity and stuff, but you have to find out where God, what is in your mantle? What is your jurisdiction? God, where am I assigned to? What am I supposed to be doing? Because some of it is, where is your heaviest burden? I know Apostle Mark Carpenter said, he said, He said, the first thing, he said, when you walk in a room, what is the first thing you see? He said, usually the first thing you see is your burden. If you walk in a room, the first thing I see when I walk in a room is stuff out of order. If stuff is out of order, it just bothers me. I cannot stand chaos. I cannot stand clutter. I know that part of a prophetic gift is you don't like stuff that's out of order. And the first thing I see is someone that's hurting, because my assignment is to hurting and wounded people. And that is usually tied to your jurisdiction, your assignment. Remember, jurisdiction is a limit. It's a realm of authority. God has given me legal authority in that area to minister to the lives of people. And so this is what's in every prophet's mantle. This is what should be. This is what should be and is in every prophet's mantle. The first thing is that a prophetic mantle will come against the spirit of religion and idolatry. Religion is rules and regulations, and that if you miss one thing, that God's going to banish you to hell. And he did. That's why the Ten Commandments, that was religion. God was teaching them, though. He said in the Old Testament, he was teaching them how to have a relationship with him. Because in the Old Testament, you see so many times with the Lord would say, I am the Lord your God, especially when they were coming out of Egypt. He said, I'm the Lord your God, because in Egypt, they had access to and they were influenced and by idolatry and idol worship and all these false gods and all that kind of stuff. But he's trying to retrain them that I am the Lord your God. And so, but in the New Testament, it says that the Ten Commandments, that the law was a taskmaster. It was teaching them that they needed grace to be able to have a relationship with God and to be able to fulfill a healthy relationship with God, because there's no way in our flesh that we could keep every single commandment. That's why Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. Love fulfilled the entire law and the entire commandments, because if you love people, if you love God, you'll do what he says. When you move into a deeper relationship with God, it's no longer about right or wrong. It's about love. I don't want to do anything that's going to offend God. And one of my personal confessions is, God, I love what you love and I hate what you hate, because I don't want to hurt God. And that's because I love him. I don't want to hurt people. That's because I love people. And so that's why the commandment got swallowed up in love. And that's why as a prophet, you have to manage your love walk. You have to learn how to walk in love. And many times we can't walk in love is because we're still hurting and wounded ourselves. And the next thing, so the prophet is coming against religion and it's coming against idolatry. And you see that very clearly in the life of Elijah when he was coming against Jezebel and Ahab. They were idol worshipers. And even in the life of Moses, in the 10 plagues, every plague was coming against a false god in Egypt. And in the life of Elijah, Jezebel against Ahab and Jezebel, they were coming against the god of Baal, the idolatry. And idolatry in its purest form is self-love. When we operate in idolatry, we are erecting gods that satisfy our fleshly desires. In 1 Colossians 3, it talks about fornication and sexual sins, and it calls it idolatry, because when you're involved in sexual sins, you're satisfying your flesh and you are erecting a god that satisfies you. So a prophet's responsibility is to come against the spirit of religion and idolatry. The next thing that's in every prophet's mantle is the power to resurrect dead things. We saw that in the life of Elijah, where his bones, the dead man was thrown on his bones. And the Bible says that that dead man resurrected and stood up on his feet. And that's because the anointing of a prophet, it resurrects dead things. Now we do it spiritually and emotionally. I have ministered over the course of life where God the Holy Spirit has spoken to me about something going on with somebody emotionally, and has seen that person's life completely turn in a different direction because the anointing of God on my life healed them. And I always say this, is I don't own my anointing. It really, because as soon as I die and leave this earth, the mantle that's on my life, the anointing on my life is going to stay right here and follow my children. I'm not going to need it where I'm going, but I do steward it. I don't own it, but I steward it. and I take care of it. And I make sure that I'm spending time with God and that I'm keeping my life clean because it's my responsibility to steward it and not own it. I remember I did my very first conference. The Holy Spirit said to me, you are not your anointing. And that made it clear, that made a clear line of delineation between who Yvonne was and who the anointing is and who the anointing is. And I clearly know the difference. So I don't have to walk around super spiritual all day long because I know the difference between who Yvonne is and who my anointing is. And my anointing is only for the purpose of ministering to the people of God and leading people to Christ that are not saved. That is what my anointing does. The next thing is it brings things into order. And I talked about this previously, that a prophetic anointing will bring things in order. And there's many times you will go in environments where they will resist order, but then that's when you have to ask God for wisdom and strategy. But when anything out of order, a prophet has to call stuff into order. He told Moses, make sure that you build the tabernacle exactly the way I told you to build it. And God gave him color and measurements and, you know, directions and clarity. He gave him all these instructions. And Moses had to build it specifically the way God told him to build it, that God was putting things in order. And there's a scripture even on the Bible, in the Bible, where somebody was I think it was Elijah. Elijah was setting up the scene for the sacrifice. And it said that they laid the wood in order. A prophet's responsibility is to bring things in order. But one thing I learned when I was under Bishop McClendon, he said, you have responsibility when you have authority. So sometimes you will be in environments where it's out of order, but you have no authority. But in the areas that you have authority, put things in order. And if you have no authority, if that's not your jurisdiction, then you have a responsibility to pray, because one of a prophet's responsibility is intercession to Abraham. God told Abraham had to pray for Sodom and Gomorrah, and he bargained with God. If there's 10 people, 12 people, 11 people, he was interceding on behalf of them. And so a prophet has a very strong ministry. The next thing I'm segueing into, a prophet has a very strong ministry of prayer and intercession and praying for people and praying for the body of Christ. And the next point is this, and these are two things that should be in a prophet's mantle. The first thing is humility. That a prophet, you have to be humble in spirit. The Bible says that God resists the proud. That so many, I see so many prophets or so-called prophets or people in ministry that they are so arrogant and so pompous, and they need so much. Like when I go and speak, I don't have all these requirements of what I need. And I've seen people, they need so much stuff for them to come and speak. They need, you know, this certain type of water and this certain type of men and all kinds of stuff. I believe you just go and God will meet your needs. But you have to be humble. There has to be a realm of humility that shrouds over your life. And I'm not talking about humility can sometimes be, you know, letting people walk over you. I'm not talking about people walking over you and taking advantage of you. Humility is a strength. Jesus, the Bible says Jesus was humble and he was lowly, and Jesus was not weak, and he didn't let people run over him, and he confronted every situation that he knew he needed to confront. So it's not, humility is not weakness. It is actually a strength that will help you manage your mantle and effectively minister to people. The next thing is modesty. Prophets were recognized by their clothing. We look at John the Baptist, where the Bible said he had a garment of camel hair and whatever it is. I can't say it right now, but he was recognized by his clothes. People knew that that was John the Baptist. There needs to be an element of modesty. And that's why I don't, it's just a personal decision. I'm not saying it has to be everybody's decision, but when I go and speak, I do not dress very flashy, because the attention should not be on me. The attention should be on the word of God and what is God saying at that moment. When God puts me on a pulpit or a stage, that's because he has something to say. I remember Juanita Bynum said that prophets don't come out of the cave until God has something to say. And so the attention should not be, amen, Valerie, attention should not be on me. Like, oh, look at her hair, look at her nails. What a beautiful, that's not why I'm there. I don't need you to remember me. I need you to remember what God said. If you forget me, that's okay. But I want you to remember what God said. I remember Chuck Swindoll was talking about, he's an old evangelist, probably in his 80s now, but he was talking about how he had gone to a conference when he was very, very young, early in the ministry, and there was a prophet that was ministering. And he said, I was so shaken and riveted in my spirit that I went up to him after the service, and I was telling him how amazing his message was and how it impacted me. And we don't even know what this man's name was, but how his message impacted me. And he said, the man looked at me and said, what are you going to do about it? And he walked away. So that man had no desire to tell him his name, you know, what he did. He just wanted to make sure that if that message impacted you, then that means you're going to do something about it. And that's how I feel, that if God has called me to speak anywhere, I want you to be impacted. I want you to be so impacted that your life changes. And that's why I'm doing this, is because I want you to be so impacted that your life goes in a completely different direction, and that you become everything that God has called you to be, and that all the instructions that the Holy Spirit speaks to me, all the directions and the guidance that the Holy Spirit gives, my desire is that you take hold of it like a pit bull takes hold of a piece of meat, and that you go be everything that God has called you to be, that you walk out your purpose and you walk out your destiny, and that I'm not just another talking head, and that you're just listening to me and you're not going to do anything about what you're hearing. That's why I feel it's so dangerous to listen to, especially with social media, we have the access to listen to so many people. And that's great that we have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think that's phenomenal. But I think it can be dangerous when you're listening to so many people and you're not implementing anything. Andy Stanley said, overexposure creates underutilization. So if you're constantly hearing the word and hearing scripture and hearing this person, that person, and you're not doing anything about it. No, he said overexposure creates a hard heart. Overexposure and underutilization creates a hard heart. So if you're hearing the gospel, hearing this person, that person, and you're not doing anything that they're saying, you're not urged to action or movement, what is happening is your heart is becoming hardened. And then you're wondering, God, why you're not moving? God, why is this not happening? Because you're not doing anything with what you're listening to. I listen to one or two people, but the people that I listen to, I take notes and I follow through on the instructions that were given. One of them is my pastor. I follow through on the instructions that are given over the pulpit, because I want to make sure that I'm dotting all my I's and crossing all my T's. So I just want to encourage you that God is giving you direction, supernatural, divine clarity and understanding about your life, then make good on the information. Follow through, because when you're listening to me, God is also speaking directly to you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you and giving you instruction and giving you things to do. Make sure that you follow through, because one of the things we talked about in assuming the position, number two, was obedience. And obedience is obeying the word of God globally, the whole word of God, but also obeying what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do specifically. So obey what God is telling you to do. And sometimes it may seem very difficult. It may seem hard. Sometimes there are areas that I struggle to be obedient in. But that's when Paul said that I beat my body into subjection and I make it obey me. We all struggle. We all have areas where we struggle in. But it's like, I just want to encourage you, obey. If God is speaking to you right now, if he's telling you to do something, write it down and walk it out. Because you don't want to look back over your life in this time, because we won't be here forever. I don't know how long God is going to tell me to do this, but I do believe that it is a dispensation in time. It's time that God has carved out from the beginning of the earth. This time was carved out the day I was born. And so I believe it's a time that's carved out. But I also believe it's a time that we're to take full advantage of it. When I sat under Bishop McClendon, I had notes upon notes upon notes, and I was just following through. I was doing this and doing that. I was trying to squeeze everything out of that environment and squeeze everything out of that encounter that I could, because I wanted to go to the next place in God. And always, if you have questions, if you have any questions, put them in the comments, because I always go back and read the comments and I will follow through and answer I will follow up and answer your questions. So God, we just thank you today. And then those of you that are attending the writer's class, I will send out a link this morning, but I'm also going to go ahead and record it because some of you may not have the time to be on the training, but you can always go back and watch it. And I will also send that to your email address. So check your emails, guys. So Father, we just thank you this morning and we bless you, God. We bless you for your word, Lord. I decree that this is not just a word, but Father, that people are being urged to action. People are moving. They are following through on the divine directives and ministry of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. And Father, I just thank you right now for the men that have poured into my life, the men that have shaken, that have shaped the prophetic anointing and ministry on my life. God, and I honor them because you said give honor where honor is due. And I honor their lives, their discipline, their sacrifice. Lord, and I just thank you today. And I just, so thank God. I just want to tell you, thank God for the people that have poured into your life. So Lord, we just honor you today and we thank you. And I thank you for your word. And you said that the entrance of your word brings light. I thank you for illumination, Lord God, that you are illuminating people's purpose, their destinies, their jurisdiction, that you're giving them clarity about who they are and why they're here and what they're supposed to do in their prophetic assignment, Lord God. That I decree, I come against ignorance, I come against the lies and the deception of the enemy, Lord God. And I decree right now in the Holy Ghost that Satan has to take his hand off of your people and off of your prophets, Lord God, because the false prophets are arising. And I just decree in the Holy Ghost that the prophets of God are arising in the name of Jesus, that you are strengthening them, that you are healing them, God, that you are making them whole, that you're even strengthening church wounds and healing church wounds in the name of Jesus. Those that have been hurt and wounded in the church, God, that those wounds are closing up, God. And so, God, I just thank you that you're faithful to your word and that you keep your word. So bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Have a great day, guys. And make sure you put your, oh, thank you, Tanisha. Make sure you put your questions in the comments. I will get back to you. God bless you.